you know, Dalton Pompey is out of options. They didn't cut bait with him after the altercation with Mr. Meacham last year. And I thought, well, there's a reason for that. He's going to make the 25-man roster. I bet JD $100 that he'd make opening. He'd come north with this team. So do you still win if
he starts a season on the disabled list?
Dude, I don't. We've had a little bit of a discussion about that. I think the bet is null and void if he's on the DL to start the season.
I think that, I mean, you could go that way, but another way you could go too is if when he's healthy, is he on the team, then you win. And if he's not, then you don't.
No, I'd like to go the way where I don't lose $100. So that's just,
Week, I think I would have bet that he would have been a Baltimore Oriole on opening day.
Yeah.
But now obviously, I mean, he's in the protocol. It's easy for them to put him on the 7-day disabled list. And that makes it even easier for them to sneak him through waivers once teams have their opening day roster set and they're, you know, less reluctant to rock the boat a week into the season.
Yeah.
But I don't know what the point is, you know, keeping him. If you're at that point and he's off the 40, I just don't know whether you're going where you're going with him at this point.
Yeah. I don't want to spend too much time on him, but he is a guy that, man, so many Blue Jays fans had such high hopes for when he arrived in 2014, and he had that meteoric rise from A-ball to the major leagues, and he was the opening day center fielder, and Kevin Pillar stole that job from him, and it wasn't even, like, he might have been able to keep going if he was playing elite-level defense, but his defense was so bad in center field in 2015, but it's crazy that we've gotten to this point. I mean, he was on the playoff roster and could have scored that game tying run in 2015 in Kansas City, so that would have been a moment. But yeah, that this could be it for Dalton Pompey is kind of crazy. If you told 2014 Mike Wilner that would be the case,
right? We all thought that he was going to be the center fielder for the Blue Jays for the next 10 years, and you know they it certainly appears as though they rushed him and he did not respond well to it. And in 2015, he was dropping routine fly balls in center field, never mind talking about elite-level defense. And since then, it's been just a bunch of concussions and wrist injuries and leg injuries and discipline issues. And it's just really gone completely off the rails for Dalton Pompey. And as much as we would love to see the local kids succeed, and as you know, and he's got the package of talents. He's a switch hitter with power, with great speed. He's capable of playing elite level defense. He does everything, but maybe the best thing is just for him. Maybe the best thing for him is to do it with somebody else.
Yeah.
And we'll see. We'll see what winds up happening.
All right, so that's enough about Dalton Pompey, a guy who does not fit into the future of this Toronto Blue Jays team. Anybody that can throw out of the bullpen would fit nicely onto this Blue Jays team at the moment, Michael. Like, I know we know it's not about wins and losses necessarily for the 2019 Blue Jays. It's about progressing the young players. But are you of the belief, as I am, that, you know, losing games by blowing leads is kind of like psychically dangerous for a young team?
I don't know that it's dangerous for a young team. I think it's disheartening, and I think it's the worst way to lose a game, regardless of, you know, whether you're a young team or whether you're an old team. But I don't think that, I think these guys are smart enough to know that if they're losing games late because their bullpen is overmatched, it's because the bullpen's overmatched and it's not good enough. And eventually there will be better relievers. So it's brutal to lose games that way, but I don't think it has any permanent or lasting damaging effects or anything like that. But I mean, you have to be able to compete.
Yeah.
And, you know, John Axford, Ryan Tepera are two good end of game relievers. Bud Norris, who knows what's going on with Bud Norris? I mean, was that all about protecting himself so that he could opt out and take another offer with some other team? I don't know. We'll find that out today. But if he's hurt too, then he's not even on the 40-man roster. And all of a sudden, you're looking at Joe Biagini as your setup man. And that's not a place you want to be in as a major league team. I mean, you look at that column that I wrote last weekend about the bullpen, just blow it up right now. It's, you know, that 25-man roster, yes, forget it, because they're, you know, half of them are hurt. And so, you know, Thomas Pannone probably makes this team. Danny Barnes has a shot of making the team, and Danny Barnes has not been the guy that he was in 2016, pretty much since then. David Paulino has a chance to make this team. Trent Thornton's got a chance to be in the bullpen mix. It's unfortunate, and it's, you know, and it's, and all while this is all happening, Elvis Luciano is just blowing up. You know, he's the kid who was so, who, you know, such composure and such unflappability under pressure, all of a sudden is looking like a deer in the headlights. So really nothing is going right now for the Blue Jays bullpen.
Yeah, you think, well, and for people who are unfamiliar, Elvis Luciano, not Luciano?
Luciano,
19-year-old rule fiver from the Kansas City Royals, apparently has great stuff, but yeah, has not performed very well in spring training, and they have a decision to make, because if he's not on the 25-man roster, they have to give him back to the Royals. Would you, if you had to wager right now, would they try and stash him? Pretty difficult when you're this thin in the bullpen.
Look, if it's a development year, it's a development year, and you have to carry him. You have to, because he's 19 and he's got such promise. So you got to make room for him, no matter how he's pitching down here. And you just hope he doesn't get his ears pinned back too badly.
Talking to Mike Wilner, Blue Jays play-by-play man, opening day, less than a week away, next Thursday. I'm sure we'll talk to you on our radio program, because we'll be down at Sportsnet Live. Maybe you won't be over with us, but maybe we'll talk over the phone or over the line or something. But that's going to be a whole lot of fun. Sell out for sure.
I'm expecting a good day there. That'll be a blast. And look, you know, let's not forget, too, the Blue Jays open the season against, as bad as you think the Blue Jays might be, the Blue Jays open the season against two teams that are worse than they are. So it could be a very nice opening homestand.
Sure could. So we talk so much about Bo Bichette and Vlad Jr., and I will get to those guys as well, but guy who showed up at the end of last season and really was the story of the Blue Jays, granted, a team kind of bereft of stories at that point, but Rowdy Tellez was fun as hell, man, and his dad and all the stuff that was happening with him, and he's not going to make this team because, you know, Justin Smoke and Kendrys Morales are still employed. I'm sure the Blue Jays already tried to solve that problem by getting something in return for a Justin Smoke. I don't know what kind of value there is, although the last year of that deal for Kendrys Morales. What are your feelings on that? Because I'd sure like to at least see what Rowdy Tellez is.
Well, look, I mean, they're paying Troy Tulowitzki and Russell Martin $36 million combined not to play for them this year. So they could very easily have made it 50 and walked away from Kendrys Morales, but they chose not to because A, he can still perform, and two, because of the effect that he has on guys like Lourdes Gurriel and Vladimir Guerrero Jr. And people like that. So they are investing in Kendrys Morales on multiple levels, which is why he's there. Otherwise, if he wasn't, I might suggest that it would be Teoscar Hernandez who would be doing a lot of the DHing as opposed to it making room for Rowdy Tellez. When Rowdy was called up last year, he was called up, you know, to maybe get in a game or two, maybe get an at-bat here and there. And he wound up getting 70 at-bats because Gibby couldn't take him out of the lineup because he hit, in those 70 at-bats, I think he hit 130 doubles.
Yeah.
So it was, you know, it was a surprise to everybody because Rowdy had two really bad years in a row in the minor leagues. And I think what he needs to do is go down to AAA and do well and, you know, show that September wasn't complete fool's gold. I mean, it was absolutely fool's gold to an extent. I don't know what his OPS was, 1300 or something. That's not going to happen. But he has to show that he can perform down there. And mid-season, if a contender wants Justin Smoke, they can have him, and that'll open up room for Rowdy. But I'm not sure that they're sold that what we saw in September is anywhere close to what we're going to get over a full season from Rowdy Tellez.
Yeah, probably.
Although
not.
He's leading the team in spring homers too, so that's kind of cool.
Yeah, it is. Another guy having a nice little spring, and this is the storyline. You know, I'm glad it's not Kevin Pillar that's been tagged with this storyline. But yeah, Teoscar Hernandez is more selective, Mike. Have you heard? And it's resulted not necessarily in walks, but a really high batting average in spring. Like I said, that's kind of an old spring training trope, but are you buying it with him?
It's kind of an old spring training trope.
Yeah,
look,
okay.
I need to see it for longer. And maybe there's something, but usually there isn't. You know, 90% of the time there isn't. Guys don't make these massive changes and have them carry through. Like, remember how many times you mentioned it. How many times have we talked about Kevin Pillar like this? And Kevin Pillar always winds up with Kevin Pillar numbers at the end of it all. So Teoscar, until this week, had this very high batting average, but it was all singles, all of it,
yeah.
Singles. He had one extra base hit over the first 3 weeks of spring, and he hit a couple of homers this week. So let's see if he can carry this into the season. Let's see where that power is, because I still think he's got as much, if not more, raw power than anybody on this team. But he's an exciting hitter, and certainly didn't come with the discipline that we thought we were going to see when the Blue Jays picked him up, but with a lot more power, and that can work.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't mind a guy who has a 305 on base if he's hitting 35 home runs. So we'll see. But we've all seen way too many spring trainings to believe that anything that happens over what 45 at bats in the spring is going to be a permanent massive change to what a guy's body of work has represented to that point.
Tell that to Simon Pond, who I think is going into Cooperstown this year, right?
Right. Tell it to Gabe Gross too.
Yeah. Yeah. Those two guys, I think, brothers in arms going into the Baseball Hall of Fame. So congratulations to them. So I mentioned we get to Bo Bichette, who was at minor league camp a couple of days ago, but just destroying baseballs, Michael. And I think you look at the overall numbers last year and you're like, well, it's fine. But he had a real slow start in Double A and really picked it up by the end. And he just lives in the shadow of Vlad Jr., right? Like, if Vlad Jr. didn't exist, you would be talking about how crazy his minor league season is and how quickly he's advanced through the levels of this Blue Jays team. And that's a position in need, middle infielder. And especially if he can stick at shortstop. Do you imagine him, one, starting at the season at AAA, and two, like, if he puts together a couple of months of 800-plus OPS and the Blue Jays are still where they are when it comes to the middle of the infield, that the clamor doesn't get louder for him, a la Vlad Jr., that he deserves a call-up this season?
Oh, the clamor will.
Yeah. But they're not going to do it.
The call-up is coming. No, I don't think they're going to do it.
But isn't it?
I think you're right that if Vladimir Guerrero Jr. didn't exist or if somebody else had him, then we'd have Bo Bichette as like the number eight prospect in all of baseball, and everybody would be going nuts.
Yeah.
And he would be the only thing we were talking about. And it's shown on the field. He's been spectacular all spring long. And he has shown, I think, both with his work last year in New Hampshire, and it's carried over to this spring too, that I think that he's got a reasonable shot at being able to play shortstop in the major leagues, which is something that going into last year, there were a lot of question marks about. And there are far less of those question marks right now. But, you know, given that he's that level of prospect, I don't know why they wouldn't play the service time game with him too.
Yeah.
So we'll, you know, especially again in a development year, in a year where they're not going to contend. Look, if they're a game and a half out of the second wild card on August 20th,
yeah.
Which is a possibility because everybody in the league sucks, except for, you know, the Yankees, Red Sox, and Astros. So it's possible that everyone's like around 500, kind of like it was 2 years ago. And if they're a game and a half out and Lourdes Gurriel is not worked out at second and Devin Travis isn't doing it, and Freddie Galvis you know, is hitting 230.
Is doing Freddy Galvez things, yeah.
Right. Yeah, then maybe, because you've got Vlad and maybe you've got Brandon Drury tearing it up. But I don't see it happening. I think that this is going to be a year that Bo Bichette spends at AAA. And, you know, maybe he can do in the International League what Kevin Biggio did in the Eastern League last year, which was like be the Rookie of the Year and the MVP.
Yeah.
But I think that's where we're going to see Bichette all year.
It's just that it's a little different even than Vlad last year, right? Because he's going to start the season in AAA. He's already starting the level right below the major leagues. And Vlad had to work his way up there and eventually got there. And then, of course, the injury made it just, the excuse was easy. But that was, even Vlad last year was one of the major storylines in national baseball coverage, right? Like, not just in Toronto. There were people clamoring, and it's different. He's the number one prospect in all of baseball. But like you said,
right, and he was hitting 400, right, for a good 2 months.
Would you
so
put
that
it,
helped. And if Bichette's already done it once. Right?
Yeah,
he already hit 400 for half a season once. He might do it again. I don't know. I mean, he's there will be a clamor, and maybe, you know, and from, I think that there's no point in playing the service time game, because I think that the whole thing is going to get blown up in 2 years anyway.
Yeah.
So I understand how you can't manage for that probability. Who knows? Maybe after you get past the Super 2 deadline, then, and if he's having a great year, then maybe people start talking about having Bo come up.
What do you mean blown up? You mean the CBA blown up in 2 years?
I think the whole, we're going to see massive, massive changes to service time, arbitration, free agency, all that kind of stuff when this CBA expires.
Yeah.
I just don't see how it can continue like this.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, at least some of those free agents are getting their money, and it seems like Chris Sale is going to get an extension today. But yeah, the
free agents aren't getting the money. The guys are getting extensions. But if you're not going to give it to the 32-year-old, then you got to give it to the 23-year-old.
Yeah.
And so we'll see if and how that changes without major, major problems, which are pretty scary.
I don't know. Just give it to the owners. They deserve it too.
They're getting plenty.
Yeah. Anthony Alford demoted. He's a guy that was one of those highly touted prospects around all of baseball. Where are you on him and where he fits into this organization in the future?
I love the kid, and I think that's an important thing, that he's a great kid. He works super hard, and he's incredibly talented. And we saw in the week that he had that 6-for-11 with four homers, and, you know, what he did last spring, we saw what's in there. He's way behind. He's behind, A, because he played football, and, two, because he kept getting hurt in his baseball career. So he's never had – last year he was the best player in camp, and then he hurt his hamstring, and he went out and was set back and had a terrible year. This year he was started 1-for-10, and then he was at 6-for-11, and then he was 1-for-11, and – so he needs consistent playing time. He needs he still needs to develop as a baseball player, and he's going to do it at AAA, and he'll play center field every day. And I still think he can be something. I was 24, 25, I'm not sure. But he really hasn't been a baseball player very long, and he has been a healthy baseball player even less. So there's a ton in there. And the makeup is fantastic. And when you have those two things, that's someone you generally bet on.
Before we let you go.
I don't know about $100, but
no,
you bet on
Listen, my days of wagering $100 on Blue Jays prospects are behind me. Although I'll wager anybody who wants to take it on even odds that Vlad Jr. ends up at the major leagues this season. I'll do that. Be fine with that. He's a massive, massive human being. And I knew that going into it. I saw him once in Buffalo last year, and it was eye-opening. Watching him this year, he just makes Kendrys Morales look like a twig, right? And now we've got a couple of different injuries that are like soft tissue type that are a little concerning. Where's the organization at with his weight and where they'd like it to be and it not being right there?
I think that they've been saying for a year and a half without saying it that they'd like him to be in better shape. He's a capable major league hitter right now. He can play defense at third base in the major leagues right now, but there are still things that he needs to work on. I think that's what they're talking about. So they would love for him to drop some weight, to lose some, you know, baby fat that maybe not be baby fat anymore. Whether he does or doesn't, I mean, he's going to be a phenomenal hitter.
Yeah.
I don't know that these soft tissue injuries are linked to, you know, the knee injury wasn't a soft tissue injury. The oblique thing is, I don't know if that's linked to him being a big guy. I think most of the big on Vladdy is between the waist and the knees. And I think that generates a lot of his power. But I just think he's a big kid, and I think he's going to be a big guy. And I think that is, you know, he's never going to be 185 pounds. He's never going to be a twig like his father was. But I think he can play, and you know, that's not saying anything that anybody else hasn't said very obviously.
Uh-huh.
But whether I don't think he's going to balloon up to like 280 or anything like that. But I think that if he winds up being Miguel Cabrera, you're very happy. And
yeah,
Miguel
no doubt.
Cabrera didn't last very long at third base.
Yeah.
And then he moved across the diamond and he's a Hall of Famer.
Yep.
And he was never skinny either.
No.
So, you know, I think those are the parallels that I see with Vlad. But yeah, the injury is the one thing that can derail him.
Yeah.
And you hope it's not going to become a thing.